This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Folks, in just a couple minutes we're going to have Mario Murillo online with us, and we are going to be having an open conversation between myself and Mario Murillo. So with that said, let me lay this out real quick for you. If you want to check us out online, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, 13 to 15 articles there, combating the lies in the CIA-controlled media, the mainstream media. On the right side of sonsoflibertymedia.com, friends, you will find nothing else but a YouTube, a big picture of Bradley right now live in his studios, okay? Click onto the YouTube page, go to the right side of the page, join us on Top Chat. That's on sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can also do the same thing on beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. We're on the front page. Click onto YouTube. You see me there. Go to the right side of the page. Join us on Top Chat. But anytime you want to call in, I'll do my best. If I don't get to the phone calls, do understand we have a guest on the show with us today. 1-866-582-9933. 1-866-582-9933. If this is the first time listening to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, said Charles Spurgeon? He said, because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests, period. We follow the Christ here, and if you'd like to check that out as far as Scripture goes, go to John 14:6, 1 Timothy 2:5, Acts 4:12, 1 Corinthians 11:1. You get the gist. Out of the mouth of two or three, I just gave you, what, four or five? There you have it. Folks, they would just sing louder. I want you to understand what it was that preceded the fall of Germany back in the 30s. When the hypocrites and the accomplices to that of the likes of Adolf Hitler, read Matthew 7:21 through 23, would sing praises to Jesus in the Protestant churches in Germany, they would sing louder to drown out the noise of the Jews, gypsies, and dissidents that were crying out for help while they were, well, being hauled off in cattle cars to concentration camps, or even worse, extermination camps. You all know this to be true, correct? Well, the fact of the matter is they're not being hauled off into cattle cars anymore, friends. They're being aborted in buildings in the United States of America to the equivalent to 3,000 to 4,000 babies. We call it abortion. It's actually called murder. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. When church services were over, they would find their cars toppled with the ash of the bodies that were burned in the incinerators. Same thing happening in here in the States, the United States of America. And to further the atrocities of these traitors to Christ, they were the ones handing off their youth groups to do Hitler's killing for them. I want you to think about the responsible party here. John Adams, the second president of the United States of America, said that we are called to be the moral compass of society. He said when that goes, everything else goes. We have to take responsibility if we want to change this country. And it's not going to happen until we repent before a just and a holy God and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 21. These professors loved Jesus so much that they simply disobeyed his commandments at every opportunity that they had. 1 John 2:4 tells us, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. What do we have? 78, I've heard statistically, 86% of the American people, they call themselves Christians. I've been in ministry for 23 years, friends, and what I see is a lack of Christianity. And keep in mind, nobody rebuked the religious hypocrites more than Jesus Christ himself did. They are the responsible party for crucifying the Christ. And what were they crying out? Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but King Caesar. Now, I'm sure most of you heard this. This is written by a guy named Martin Niemöller. He said, first they came for the socialists and I didn't speak out. We've all heard this. Because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I didn't speak out. Why? Because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I didn't speak out. Why? Of course, because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak out for me. He said this, Martin Niemöller. Hey, friends, Martin Niemöller is perhaps best remembered for this quotation. And I've heard this quote many times before, just like you probably have. But it was just recently that I learned that the man who said it was a prominent Protestant pastor during the time of Hitler and the Nazis back in the 30s. It was learning this fact that made all the difference in the world and understanding from where this quote stemmed. This quotation stemmed from Niemöller's lectures during the early post-war period. His point was that Germans, and in particular the leaders of the Protestant churches, had been complicit through their silence in the Nazi imprisonment, persecution, and murder of millions of innocent people. Niemöller was also one of the earliest Germans to talk publicly about the broader complicity in the Holocaust and guilt for what had happened to the Jews, although he had to suffer, spending the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps, he still recognized his own guilt for not speaking out against tyranny. Is this in replay today, America? In fact, we could rewrite Niemöller's quote quite well for the modern-day church and the leaders of the day for the most part. It would probably go something like this. First, they came for prayer in public schools, and we didn't speak out because, well, we weren't students. Nor did I ever look into the fact that the Supreme Court is not above the law. No, they're subject to the law. Read Article 3, Section 1 of the United States Constitution. Also line that up with Scripture, Ephesians 6:18. Then they came to murder the unborn in their mother's womb. And I didn't speak out because I was not an unborn child. And after all, I was told that the Supreme Court could sanction the murder of the innocent in the womb by simply calling it a woman's choice. Yet the Bible is clear when it says God hates hands that shed innocent blood in Proverbs 6:17. Then they came for marriage through the legalization of two men or two women getting married to upend American sovereignty, because that's what it's all about. Our Constitution is made for a moral and a religious people under the umbrella of the Christian faith. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other, said John Adams. These groups are being used as a political battering ram to upend our Constitution as we know it. And of course, friends, what happened in the church is I didn't speak out as if to say that the Supreme Court and justices have a God-given right to redefine what God himself has designed, because I didn't want to be called a hater or a bigot. No, a lot of professors today in the church, friends, they care more about their reputation that Jesus didn't care about. His reputation was left to the Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And folks, that's why we are in the position that we are in today. I've got Mario Murillo coming up on the other side of this hard break, friends. If you'd like to call in, you can do so. Again, we've got a guest on, so we'll do our best. 1-866-582-9933. 1-866-582-9933. Are we seeing all of this repeat itself, friends, because we haven't taken the time to learn from history? I think we are.
It was William Booth who founded the Salvation Army that said, I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without generation, politics without God, and heaven without hell. It was also the same William Booth who said, if you want to change the future, then you're going to have to trouble the present. Well, we here at the Sons of Liberty have always been a troubler of the present to preserve our future for generations to come. And you can be a part of it too. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and click on the Spread the Word button where you can join us in taking part in winning this nation for Christ by becoming a son or daughter of liberty. You can also make a one-time donation as well by clicking the Donate Securely button on our landing page. We cannot do this apart from you. We are all together in this fight to win America back unto Christ and restore us back to the foundations that made us great. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com today.
As you listen to the show today, you're probably thinking, how can I be a part of changing culture and restoring this country for our posterity? Well, we at the Sons of Liberty have an answer for you. Pick up the phone and call radio stations in your hometown. Tell them you want to hear the Sons of Liberty on your AM and FM stations. Help us multiply the message that we deliver to the nation every day. And equip your community with the truth that is protecting our liberty for generations to come. Remember, we can do this together.
Ready to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men? Well, start your engine with some high-octane truth-telling on the Sons of Liberty Morning Show with Tim Brown. We'll bring you news and commentary from a Christian worldview using the Bible and the Constitution as our only resources. Not to determine who's on the right or on the left, but who is on the straight and who is on the narrow. Get on the inside track every weekday with Tim Brown and the Sons of Liberty Morning Show, 6 a.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, friends. If you want to check us out online, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. We've already got the phone lines lit up, but friends, I got to pull up Mario Murillo because we're going to have an open conversation here. And so no disrespect to you callers. We got one calling in from Colorado, Ohio. And if you can just do your best to hold on, or if there's a window of opportunity, we'll pull you up. And we will get your phone calls. Without further ado, we have Mario Murillo online with us right now. How are you, my friend?
Honored to be with you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, Mario, because I got a lot of questions for you, because I've seen some of the articles that you have written concerning Never Trumpers and the such, and I just kind of wanted to hear from you as to what your perspective was in the comments that have been made. But before that, I got to tell you this. I'm a younger guy, and I've been in ministry for about 23 years, and once I first got saved 23 years ago, I started seeing what the problems were in public schools. And I was inside of the church, and I noticed the church would play church, and it seemed like they would play church inside of the building and forget the commandment of going out there and seeking and saving that which is lost. And I stomached a youth pastor for about 6 months talk about how he was going to go into public schools. Well, that never happened, and I just approached him, and I basically said, listen, I see that these young people are being subjected to everything in public schools and protected from nothing, and we should be out there in the public schools bearing the reproach of Christ. But I don't see that happening. And since then, we've done about 364 public high schools. Out of those, we've done two Christian schools, because our motto here is we're not going to ask the devil for permission to obey God. And in the process, we've also set three lawful precedents. But what I get to see firsthand, Mario Murillo, is the fallout. I see the fallout in public schools. I see what's taking place. I see how since 1962, violent crimes have gone up 794%, and it just gets crazy. It's violent crime, divorce, teen pregnancy, abortion, illegal drug use, illiteracy, and it goes on and on. As a matter of fact, 700,000 students that graduate every year in this country, they can't even read their own graduation diplomas. So my question to you is, and I'm not going to ask you how old you are, Mario, because that's kind of a personal thing, and I don't know that you would even care if I did or not, but you seem like you got a little bit of an edge on me as far as how long you've been in the church. But what do you suppose is the reason for the fallout concerning the statistics since 1962 in America, considering it's the church that's called to be the light of the world, and this is our responsibility?
Well, you know, you are doing such an excellent job. Your revision of Mohler's quote was absolute genius. It's a masterpiece. And I'd almost want to have a text of it. I want you to understand that what I'm pointing out is the church's seduction. You know, there's a temptation that Jesus went through. The second one in the wilderness where he was asked to worship the devil in exchange for the kingdoms of the world. And whereas he turned it down, modern pastors did not and have not, because they were offered in exchange. And what was the temptation of Christ? It was tempting to him to have the seemingly won the human race without going to the cross. Well, that's where he said, no, I don't need your kingdom. I have my own kingdom, and I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going to save mankind. Mankind wouldn't have been saved. It would have been a fabrication. But modern pastors, unfortunately, over the last several years, accepted the temptation, which is, give me a large church in exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I will not preach the cross. And so what happened is,
Amen.
Is
Amen.
Rear ends filled churches. We had big screens, skinny jeans, and fog machines. But we did not have repentance.
That's right.
We did not create disciples. But most importantly, no one had done what generations of Christians had done since the book of Acts, which is to equip the audience with the reasons for their moral stance and their reasons for civic involvement and their reasons for disapproving and finding abhorrent the cultural changes that were going on. The pastors, too many of them, were excited by the crowds they had. But those crowds were powerless, they were ignorant, they were uninformed, they were disconnected. And I have to lay a great deal of what's going on right now in this election and in the fraud that's being uncovered, that the church is still incapable of having a biblical moral outrage for what has happened. And it goes back to what I said. I want a big church. I don't want to make disciples. I'd rather just have an entertainment center where I have created this hybrid gospel that does not essentially address the moral problem of the human race.
That's right. That's right. Mario, if I can insert this into this conversation that we're having here, I would, I guess, be more particular about what I'm saying or even asking here. When it comes to the preaching of the pulpits and what's happening in the pulpits and what's coming from the pulpits today, one thing that I did is when I first got into the church, I had no taste for the modern gospel. I mean, we went from repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We went from law to grace preaching to the modern gospel. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And they're now being taught to use the grace of God as an occasion for the flesh. I mean, when we talk about the statistics that we have in front of us right now, Mario Murillo, we're talking about creating a bunch of anarchists today. That's why we have statistics that are just going through the roof. And if it comes back to the pulpits and the responsibility of the pulpits, if we're called to be the moral compass of society, and that goes, the government's going to go. So it's our responsibility. What we see in the pulpits today is a bunch of antinomianists. They have no regard for God's moral law. So they make void the law, and then what they do is they lower the law, and then they dim the light by which man perceives his own guilt, which, by the way, drives him to the foot of the cross. So what say you concerning old-time preachers to modern-day preachers? Because they didn't have the fallout statistics that we have in the present.
Church, Charles Finney said, if there is a decline in the morals of a nation, the pulpit is to blame.
That's right.
He laid it directly and squarely there. I did a rally in Fresno, and I'll make this real quick because I'm answering your question. I stood in front of a packed audience, and there were 30 pastors there, and there are many godly pastors, and I'm not against pastors. I'm against a select group that I believe have traded the truth in order to have an empire. So I'm standing there, and I ask the audience, how many of you in this room have been fired from your job here in California because of a Christian post that you put on social media? And hands went up. How many of you have had your children suspended from school for wearing Christian garb? Hands went up. How many of you have been ostracized and condemned and had an attempt to cancel your career and your future because of your loyalty to Christ? Hands went up. And I looked at the audience and I said to the pastors, are you preaching to any of this? Are you instead equipping Christians for a problem that does not even exist? There is not a desperate need in the church to feel entitled or that God loves them or that their past sins and everything, while important to repent of, there's no need for this incessant reassurance that God loves them. There is instead a need to say there's a military model. When you serve Christ, you're a soldier.
That's right.
When you get saved, there's a book, and you go by that book. That book is the truth. And that book's moral law is what we give to the culture. The church should not be a place where you give people Ovaltine and comfort all the time. It is a place to be equipped, to be armed and dangerous. As Peter said, to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Why am I against this? Why am I not voting for this? And intelligence. And I said to the audience, I said, you've been left unprotected. And that's where we are, and that's how it happened. The old-time preachers did not do this. They did not care whether or not they would receive the commentary and applause of men, as Charles Spurgeon said.
Yep.
He said, it is an evil omen when the world claps its hands and says, well done to the Christian man. And there are pastors right now standing with Biden. Literally, after the scandal, even after it, they're still standing with Biden. And unfortunately, it's a tenuous stand at this point, because the corruption is going to be exposed, and there's no way that that stain will not splash onto the pastor who has endorsed Biden.
Okay. And we'll get to some of those questions in just a moment, Mario. I still want to kind of make a point out of this. What comes to my aid right now is what Catherine Booth said back in the 1800s. She said, when the church and the world can jog together along comfortably, you may be sure that there's something wrong. The world hasn't altered. It is the spirit, and it's the same exact spirit as it ever was. And if Christians were equally faithful and devoted to the Lord and separated from the world, living so that their lives were a reproof to all ungodliness, the world would hate them as much as it ever did. It is the church that has altered, not the world. Catherine Booth. Folks, we're talking to Mario Morillo, having a conversation. We're going to take a quick break. Sons of LibertyRadio.com. We'll be right back on the other side.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is urging Americans not to travel for Thanksgiving, citing a rise in new COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. As cases do continue to increase across the country, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is predicting more closures like indoor dining and gyms within a week or two.
New York City will, before long, be in that orange zone status. I talked to the governor at length about this yesterday, and that means those restrictions are coming.
Wisconsin officials starting their recount of the presidential ballots on Friday, but it will likely end up in court. The Wisconsin Elections Commission spending hours Thursday night trying to decide how the recount will move forward and what the rules will be. The commission is split with 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats. More news online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News. Trump campaign lawyer Rudy Giuliani says it's clear there was widespread voting fraud in the presidential election.
Because it's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states, almost exactly the same pattern.
Giuliani had a briefing in Washington, D.C., saying that there was a plan from a centralized location to deny President Trump re-election. Giuliani also questioning the validity of massive mail-in voting. The NFL is going cashless at this year's Super Bowl. The league announcing a partnership with Visa that will make the entire event cash-free amid the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. The NFL was already working on the idea but decided to implement it due to COVID-19. Fans can trade their cash for Visa gift cards at reverse ATMs that will be around all Raymond James stadiums in Tampa, home of Super Bowl 55 in February. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. If you want to watch us live even now, we're talking to Mario Murillo, having an open conversation, and I'm going to get to some of his comments in just a moment. Before I do that, Mario, if you don't mind, I would like to ask just one more time concerning my up-and-coming generation as to what we're dealing with and the responsibility of the church. D. James Kennedy, I spent some time with him. Before he passed away, as a matter of fact, 3 hours, the guy would not let me go. I thought it was the coolest thing since sliced bread. And before he had passed, he had spent that time with me, and he had shared with me at one moment, just out of nowhere, he asked me who my favorite preacher was, if I had an overseer, a spiritual overseer, who would it be? I told him Charles Spurgeon would be the guy if he was alive, but you know what? The Christ that we all serve is still alive, and so are his words. His gifts still speak. And he had said to me, he goes, you know what, Bradley, he goes, several times, he goes, I've had pastoral meetings from preachers from all over the world, and they would come here, and he said, one point, I had a bunch of homosexuals protesting my church, and I had one of these pastors come up to me and ask me the question, Dr. Kennedy, why is it that your church is being protested? And his spiritual understanding, speaking of an old timer again, he said, you mean your church isn't being protested? Because Protestant has meaning. He's also the guy that told me, Mario, that he said, Bradley, at one point I had to point my finger at the camera and say, today 3,000 to 4,000 babies are going to be murdered because over 300,000 pulpits remain silent in the face of sin. What say you to that old-time preaching that may have come from and did come from D. James Kennedy, in fact?
Well, it is the preaching that I have preached for over 50 years. And it has been my conviction that when Christ began, he told them, he said, you will be hated of all nations.
Yes.
Well, that hatred is because all the world lies in the evil one. The issue of abortion, the issue of marriage, the issue of morality, it is the supreme objective of all preachers to obey the voice of God and to understand the Bible, to read and absorb the Word of God. The reason that Billy Graham was such a life-changing preacher is that you would hear throughout his dissertations, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. We've had churches that literally had rules that you're not to have more than two verses in your sermon because it turns off the outsider.
Hmm.
Well, therein lies the flaw, and millennials and the younger generation coming up need to be told this. You need to understand from the jump that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God, that God has protected it through the centuries, and our chief objective is to, with fidelity, represent the doctrines of truth that are in the Word of God. And when culture clashes with the church's moral obligation is this. The ingredient, the active ingredient of Christianity will not kick in. The joy, the peace, the power, the thing that distinguishes us from every religion in the world will not happen to you until you repent.
That's right.
And for us to provide you with an option of not repenting or an option of putting it off is to deprive you of the one reason the world will turn to Christ, because they can't get this joy anywhere else. They can't get this peace anywhere else.
That's right. You had said something earlier, and as a matter of fact, you were talking about the warfare which we endure, and I'm making a point out of this, two different points. But what's interesting to note is this painting that used to hang in Charles Spurgeon's his study in England. It was in a museum on the East Coast, and it was a picture of a king prodding his soldiers. And it said on the little tag below the picture in gold, it said, comforting his soldiers, pushing them along in war. And it's interesting that when you were talking about the Holy Ghost and his purpose, not only does he come to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, John 16:8, but he's also called the Comforter, and few people understand what the Comforter actually does. He pushes us into the war. He prepares us for the war, and he keeps us in the war, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church because we're on the offensive. I'm trying to ask the question, more than anything from you, Mario, is all the way up, now I'm making my other point here, all the way up until 1962, we asked my grandma, she passed away a couple years ago, she was 98 years young, and we asked her, so when you would go to church, what was it that you would hear from the pulpits? She said you would be hearing the law and the prophets all the way up until about 1962, and then they showed disregard for God's moral law. Without the law of God, what drives men to the foot of the cross? And what brings the conviction of sin that the Holy Ghost can use to bring about repentance before God and put their faith in Jesus Christ? That's what I'm trying to get into, more particular.
Well, let's get into it. The lie that's so pervasive today is that sermons should be designed to be palatable to the outside world and to the modern culture. And one of the examples that they hijack is Spurgeon himself. And what people don't realize is that Spurgeon was not a seeker pastor. Even though the church was explosive in growth, modern people love to quote him, but they don't understand that he appeared at a time when modernism and all the fundamental gospel doctrines were being challenged.
Yep.
In fact, churches were abandoning them. He was a champion for restoring the law, the prophets, and the truth of the Word of God. So when you say, what do we need to do? What do we need to tell young millennials? Young millennials need to understand every man of God, every woman of God has got to make a commitment to say, I'm not looking for a popular message. If God grants me celebrity, that celebrity is a line of credit to be exhausted in the act of telling the truth. And what we understand about the cross, the blood, the return of Christ, the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The mandate, and I think that we need to focus a little bit on this. What is the purpose of the church in a modern culture? What is it supposed to be? And that's what's been most prostituted in our time. The identity, the role, the compulsion of the church is the role of a soldier in battle, standing, taking on the armor of God, and opposing the lie. Now, one thing we got to get over, and I really got to mention this, is that Jesus said, I send you forth as lambs before wolves. Well, look at that picture. I mean, there is no more evident outcome of how it's going to be if you send lambs out in front of wolves. But that's exactly what Jesus was saying. This is how it's going to look when you go against the culture. You're going to feel like a lamb against a wolf. Fortunately, you have a major lion on your side. And the fact of how we appear to the world, we are vessels of truth. We are voices of conviction. We're to stand and represent the heart of God, the honor of God. God has been grieved. God has been impugned. God's character has been misrepresented. And nope. It is the compulsion of the church to represent that accurately.
And that's in majorly in part as to what I'm saying right now. The character of Jesus, when you read in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, namely Matthew, it's interesting that he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They identified Jeremiah, they identified Elijah, they identified one of the old prophets, or John the Baptist, resurrected from the dead. And it's interesting because the modern view of Christianity is one that looks just like them. A reprobate standard rather than Christ's risen standard. And what I see on the scene, namely in the church today, Mario, is a bunch of gospel preachers, modern day gospel preachers, that are really upside down in their preaching. I see where they're preaching a false grace. They're teaching that the law of God, which drives men to the foot of the cross, where it can do no more. As D.L. Moody said, Augustine said, the law detects, grace conquers. And I don't want to avoid this point because it's important that we get there. But what we see today on the scene, the church is being laughed at because they've created a Jesus that looks just like them, a name it and claim it preachers, or they've created, and I speak as a man, Mario, I speak as a man, Lord, that they have created a Jesus that has these pink little booties on, walking around smacking sheep on the backside, telling the world everything is okay. When in fact, the message was and is, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think of Martin Luther, Mario, and I'll let you answer, and then we'll move on to the next points here. But I think of Martin Luther, the great reformer, when he said back in the 1500s, he said, Satan, the god of all dissension, stirreth up daily new sects, and last of all, which of all others I should have never foreseen or suspected, he hath raised up a sect such as teach that men should not be terrified by the law, which drives them to the foot of the cross, I'm adding, but gently exhorted by the preaching of the grace of Christ. How are people to repent if they've never been driven to the cross by the law where it can do no more? That's what I want to know.
Well, one of the luxuries that I possess as a preacher is that I preach to gangsters, drug addicts, and homeless people who do not have the luxury of that illusion. They are not deceived. And when they understand the law, the Ten Commandments that drive us in desperate repentance to know Christ, these people have the edge because there's no layers of deception. They know that evil is real. They know that they are possessed. They are entrapped. They are broken. This is why I believe it's important to understand that on the day of Pentecost, those who heard what Peter said were cut to the heart by the truth of what he said. And the process of the utter helplessness of mankind before the holiness of God, the utter, complete, and total lack of power to save ourselves through our deeds and through our own grace.
Amen.
And to then live in massive gratitude, because I really believe that holiness If you want a capsulized definition of...
Got about 5 seconds. I got to take another hard break, Mario.
Okay.
Folks, sonsoflibertyradio.com. We got Mario Morello. We'll be right back. One more segment on the other side.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Grammy Award-winning producer Val Garay. Bradley Dean is a man who knows what it means to speak the truth. In this day and age, it's extremely important to have a voice for the voiceless and a caring person who loves God and country enough to fight for it. Listen to the Sons of Liberty radio show for the truth that will open your eyes and speak directly to your heart.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. We have Mario Morello right now, and we are just talking about, first of all, we started off the first segment with the downfall of the country. Statistically, violent crimes up, so on and so forth, divorce, teenage pregnancy, illiteracy. I mean, folks, you name it, right? You know, I've heard it said, Mario, that if you're sick and tired of man's 10,000 commandments, now abridging this conversation into that of governments and what's going on the political scene right now, if you're tired of man's 10,000 commandments, simply get back to God's 10. And when we think about God's law, Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's the first one. And the second one is namely like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Romans 13 talks about love is the fulfilling of the law. And that's really what it comes down to. So we don't abrogate God's moral law because Jesus never abrogated his moral law. And I think what we need to do is make distinction between ceremonial law and moral law. And I think that's what we're missing today, especially in a Gentile nation. And that's why we have Moses and the Ten Commandments virtually on every Capitol building in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, every state preamble starts out acknowledging the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you look at, for example, the Supreme Court, you see Moses and the Ten Commandments above his head. And what does it say right below him? Justice, the guardian of liberty. Well, without an understanding of God's law, what is the Holy Ghost going to use to drive men to the foot of the cross? And this is my point. We've left off law to grace. Galatians 3:24 comes to mind. Wherefore, the laws are schoolmen master to bring men unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, understanding, Mario, the law condemns us. I understand that. I'm not trying to be justified by Moses. I wasn't going there. I just wanted to make clear that anybody that understands, namely a theologian, when it comes to Scripture, the law condemns. But if we be believers, the gospel justifies us, because at that point, we have now been born again by the Spirit of God, and the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. John 3:3, and I'm thinking of Romans 5:5, and also 2 Corinthians 7:10, and so these were the points that I wanted to make and ask you the question, because what I see happening here, now going over to your article, is the fact that, you know, you're talking about never Trumpers and the flawed logic of never Trump Christians. And I'm thinking to myself, Mario, because here's the deal. I have people in my circle that know who you are, and I did not bring you on this show to disrespect you. I brought you on this show because I wanted to hear from you as to, you know, some of the stuff that you have written concerning the flawed logic of never Trumpers. It's almost like you're putting people that are calling Donald Trump out for his lawlessness or his acts of lawlessness as Trump haters. But when I look at Scripture, Jesus was actually hated for telling the truth, not the other way around. And so was King David in Psalm 109. So I just want to make clear as to why we have you here. I'm glad you're here with us. And if we could get over to the flawed logic of never Trump Christians, I'd like to understand your perspective as to how we are never Trumpers if we're calling Trump out for, again, his lawless acts concerning this administration.
Well, is it a chance for me to give an answer to that question?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I think your logic is a little bit flawed. I'm going to help you. Right now, we are watching the uncovering of the most malicious, seditious, insidious mass conspiracy against American freedom. And what I'm looking at is that we have two choices. We have Biden, we have Trump. We have in the Trump column a flawed character, an attempt for a man to defend the church and defend all the things that I heard you talk about during this broadcast. Biden is not doing that. He is an existential threat to everything. If we were going to quote Mueller, and I don't know who ran against Hitler. I do not know who his opponent was. I don't know what our good friend Bonhoeffer and Mueller were saying. But if everyone was identifying the moral shortcomings of Hitler's candidate or electoral opponent, and not stepping back to see, if I believe in God's moral law, which you claim to believe in, then you would see the moral insanity of allowing Biden to win. He is for, I heard you condemn abortion. He's for babies dying after they're born.
Yeah.
He's for the marriage that you claim to have condemned in this show, gay marriage.
Uh-huh.
So Trump may be a flawed instrument, so was King Cyrus, so was Samson, so were individuals. But if we get to such a myopic view where we can look with both eyes through a keyhole and not back up and say, well, here is an impediment to the New World Order system that is tampered with electoral machines.
Yep.
That has manipulated the freedom. You call yourself the Sons of Liberty. Well, you need to know what God is doing to protect that liberty. And you need to read in the Bible that God has used flawed individuals. And I'm watching Trump, and I hear people say, well, a pastor said, his rhetoric threw me off. I said, you haven't listened to Biden's rhetoric? He called everyone that supports Trump a white supremacist.
Yep. Yep.
And we need to understand right now that we're not choosing the lesser of two evils. We're choosing where God can work. You know, when Paul the Apostle was brought before a council and they wanted to tear him to shreds, he saw the audience. They were Sadducees and they were Pharisees. Neither one was right.
Okay.
But then he took the position that would seem to be the choosing the lesser of two evils. He said, I'm standing here because of the hope of the resurrection. Sadducees didn't believe in it. The Pharisees did.
Yep.
So he was choosing two flawed sects, but asking himself, where can God work? God cannot work with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a shill for forces of darkness and evil that are indescribable.
Right.
Trump has a redemptive quality.
Okay.
And
well,
so, in all good, what am I going to do? Okay, I don't vote for Trump. Well, you just voted for Biden. Oh, that's not true. I've taken a moral stand. I voted my conscience. That is fertilizer.
Yeah.
You well, only are voting your conscience when you look at the state of the church and the state of the world and where the threat against the quote-unquote Sons of Liberty is coming from. It is coming from the left.
Okay.
And you have to ask yourself, why do the same people that hate Trump hate the church? Because there is something deeper and darker going on here.
Oh, there is.
And you know what? We got one horse in the race, and we better know why we're standing and defending that horse.
Okay, so let me answer. Let me just bring about my flawed interpretation or my flawed views on what's going on here. During the Revolutionary War, the War of Independence, the flags that were flying were no king but King Jesus and appeal to heaven. They weren't their favorite candidates. By the way, we're a constitutional republic, Article 4, Section 4. There's not a Democratic Party, no more than there's a Republican Party, no more than there's 98 or 99 different party affiliations. We were warned about party affiliations. We're ruled by law in this country under God. We've gotten away from that because the grown-ups have taught us that there's a two-party system, which they should have all the well known, to be quite respectful to the truth of the matter here, is a political language created to make lie sound truthful. If we go to Scripture, Mark 3:25 comes to my aid. It's set up to, what, create warfare, right, left, to divide the American people. A house divided against itself will not fall, right? Okay, so with that said, if I look at what our forefathers established, they were making their appeal to King Jesus. The national slogan is rebellion towards tyrants is obedience to God. And keep in mind, Mario, they threw off a tyrant across the pond named King George who would not be ruled by God. And our seal, our national seal, which was made by Benjamin Franklin and that of John Adams and that of Thomas Jefferson, was a picture of Moses on the other side of the sea where Pharaoh and his armies were overthrown by the waters. So, with
well,
that said...
Well, then we should have turned down the help of the French, shouldn't we?
Well, no, thank God
by
for the French.
By your logic, my friend, and I'm glad you brought me on this show because this is the kind of confusion that I think needs to be cleared up.
Well, would you
if
be willing...
If we had not appealed to the French, the American Revolution never would have succeeded. And that was hardly a moral nation.
Would you be willing to do another show, Mario? Because I think we only got to about a third of
well,
what we
I'd
could
like
possibly
an answer
talk about.
My question before...
Sure.
Before I agree to another show, I'd like you to answer that question. Why did we, in your worldview of such moral purity and whatever, why did we accept the help of the French?
Well, I think that was God's answer to the appeal.
That's what Trump is, my friend.
Well,
that's exactly what Trump is, and you need to wake up to that fact.
Okay, so in saying that, I would like to do a part two, because what I'd like to do is actually bring you to the fruit of the administration and then ask you questions as to I highlight the fruit that's hanging on the tree, because I believe what's happening here, Mario, and I'll end with this, okay, is the fact that what we're afraid of Joe Biden and what he would do to us, Donald Trump has been doing over the last four and 5 years here. And
well,
I can,
that's
and
why
I can
we're not doing
that.
A second show, because you're being
okay.
Dishonest. You're being a Christian version of CNN right now.
Okay, well, I don't think that's fair, but again, that's why it's a younger generation trying to seek
it's
answers. And if you're not
fair, I want you to answer the question.
I think I just did.
Did the American Revolution accept the help of the French?
I think I just answered that.
The answer you just said applies to them.
I think I just answered that, Mario.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. teamgaday.com.